This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here with my co-host and colleague, Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm going through transition, and so far it feels like every day is more of the same, which is probably a good thing. I mean, it feels like actually every day is Trump losing again.
we are living the Groundhog's Day of the election and him losing over, like, maybe multiple times a day sometimes.
It does have like a weird, like, I mean, in the Trump administration, things go so fast sometimes, it would kind of feel like it never stopped and you're just always moving. And it still kind of feels like that, but in a different way, like the groundhog way. It's just...
Yeah. But I totally, I mean, I've said this to my husband many times. I feel like I'm living, just being like quarantined, I feel like I'm living the same day over and over and over. The year's just flying by. But let me ask you, how was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
So two of us, 22-pound turkey.
What?
We are just about to get through it.
You know, that's pretty good. 22 yeah. pounds, like in a
it's
matter
as small
of like,
as we could get. We tried, like, they had nothing small for obvious reasons. So my husband was like, well, screw it. We're doing turkey anyway. And we are steadily trucking along. And I think we're gonna finish off the bird.
I want to know, like, what else you turned the leftovers into. Did you do anything fun with it?
Honestly, not really. Like, sandwiches, mostly.
Sandwiches, yeah. I roasted two chickens. I was like, I'm not even doing it. I'm not dealing with that. First of all, it's hard to deal with a carcass that big. I mean, those things are not easy to, but it's worth it if you got like a big gathering. Just wasn't worth it for like little Thanksgiving. But anyway, okay. So let's get to it. Look, it's not getting any better. We always start with COVID news. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So we have reached in the United States 13.6 million cases and 269,667 deaths. Over 35,000 of those deaths have happened just in the month of November. Huge, huge upticks in cases. I mean, we're talking about, like, I was looking at, like, somebody tweeted out this, like, you know, monthly cases, and the monthly cases, like, in April is like 180,000, and now we're like 4.5 million in a month. Cases reported.
This is going to make the past waves seem like child's play. This is the big kahuna here.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, like, God forbid this is actually the least bad wave to hit us.
You know,
this will be the worst wave, most likely.
I feel like the Thanksgiving wave is about to hit us because it hasn't quite yet.
It'll be continuation. It's going to keep surging up. There's no time for it to come down between then. It's just going to be straight up from here. It's going to be a really bad, terrible December.
Yeah, I saw last week, like, you know, there were just so many videos and photographs of people just like the airports were like just stacked, packed. And what I don't understand is, like, why aren't the airlines themselves? I mean, I understand money, but really the airlines themselves should be held responsible. You cannot have like a certain amount of more than a certain amount of people. Like, there should be some capacity that you are allowed to have in terms of your passengers and not just pack them like sardines at this point. But it seems like no, that's not happening. There are no regulations around this, and the airlines are...
And they're still asking for bailouts. Like, they're packed flights, and they're asking for, like, bailouts for this. No, that's not how this works.
One or the other. Yeah, so next couple months are not good, but we have been getting some good news on the vaccine front, and that's been good. And I feel like basically what we're looking at is, like, 2 months of terrible, terrible death, and then maybe some relief going into February, March, it seems like. But so I want to talk a little bit about these vaccines. Pfizer and Moderna both have vaccines that I think are like the final trials. They are reporting like 94% effectiveness, which is kind of amazing. And Trump's, the guy who was in charge of like Operation Warp Speed to getting these vaccines out there, Dr. Mansell Slowey, he's a Moroccan national. And we saw him at that one press conference that Trump did a few weeks ago in the Rose Garden. He believes that the vaccines are safe. He said only about 10 or 15% of volunteers have some side effects, and they seem like kind of not, like, you know, serious side effects, like chills, muscle aches, some fever, headaches, but they go away in a day or two. The only thing is that both of the companies, the vaccines, the way they're created, will require that people are gonna have to get two doses, like a month apart. And rolling out one dose for this many people is not gonna be easy, but rolling out two doses.
And compliance and getting people back again, I mean, I guess it's a good case scenario if people are so eager to get it that there's backlogs. Worst case would be that people are so hesitant to take it that they've got more than they can actually pass around.
Well, here's what I'm wondering, though. What if people get their first dose and because of supplies, they actually can't get the second dose and like that time frame passes? And what happens then? Do you start over with another new dose? Like, I don't know how any, because I actually don't feel like, first of all, Politico reported the other day that Trump has told the states that you're going to distribute the vaccines. We're not going to have any, there's going to be no federal guidance over it, other than they want healthcare workers to be first in line. But other than that, you're on your own. So I don't think the distribution is going to be great. I know the CDC was supposed to have some kind of vote today. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, they're going to vote on how they, you know, they were going to issue guidance about the priority in which people should get the vaccines. I don't know how that landed, but what I have heard that it would be frontline workers, healthcare workers, it would be people over 65, it would be people with underlying health conditions, and then it would be
correctional officers, but not prisoners.
No way, really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, so Trump has been pushing, we know, to get these through as quickly as possible. And he's been very upset that basically the first, and I think we talked about this in the last episode a couple weeks ago, that the first kind of good news about the vaccine trials came out right after the election.
I mean, but like, it really wasn't though. I mean, of course, his supporters are all like, it's a conspiracy, but it's no, conspiracy. They're waiting. What happened is that we got them sooner than expected because we had a giant wave of COVID infection coming up. And that's what made the results possible. Like once they had enough confirmed infections in the trial groups, that's when the data existed, they could go forward. So it wasn't about the election, it was about when infections got so bad here that the studies could be completed.
You know, so there was a report that just today, this morning, and we're recording this on Tuesday, Mark Meadows actually summoned the FDA commissioner, Stephen Hahn, to the White House to ask him why the FDA hasn't issued an emergency approval of the Pfizer vaccine. And I thought that was interesting because obviously, well, they just don't want to do it, but they need to wait for the trials to be completed, which could be in a matter of weeks. But
they haven't even applied for it. How could he possibly grant it?
Oh, I didn't know they hadn't applied for. Right. Oh, because the company itself is still completing their trials, right? Well, what's interesting to me is that I'm kind of curious about, because I really thought once Trump like clearly lost the election, he'd be like, I don't give a crap anymore. Like, I don't care when the vaccine, I don't care about any of this. In fact, he would try to sabotage it. So I'm surprised that he is still on it because obviously.
Well, is there any sign he's on it, not just people in the administration?
I just assume it's everything. It's like.
Have you tweeted about it? No, I don't think so.
Well, no, but apparently next week there is going to be a COVID-19 vaccine summit, and it's going to happen before this. They're going to have like a panel of advisors to the FDA meet to decide whether they should grant the emergency approval. But if you're to Pfizer, but if you're saying they haven't applied for it, I don't know how that happens. But there is some kind of summit happening next week.
There'll be a vaccine. The end is in sight. And by that, I mean 6 months from now. But I guess the worst case scenario was a virus that did not have that could not have a vaccine made for it, let alone this kind of time frame.
Yeah.
So we've avoided that. Now it's just a matter of hanging in there until people get inoculated.
One of the interesting things I read about Dr. Slow, it was in an interview that he gave because, you know, his entire career has been around developing vaccines. Incredibly brilliant man. And apparently for the entire year, like the administration was told, like, this is the guy you want to tap. Like everybody in the industry agreed it. But he actually said that the thing about COVID is that the reason it was easier to develop a vaccine for COVID was for this COVID. He said it's actually a pretty weak virus. And that's why a lot of people can have the virus and get through it pretty easily. But that's kind of crazy because then on the other hand, you hear like the horror stories of how the virus is shutting down entire organ systems, giving people heart attacks. Yesterday, I read about a 23-year-old who had a stroke from the virus. So it just...
Maybe it means weak in terms of like the immune system. It folds easy under pressure once there's some kind of immune response.
Maybe that's, yeah. Yeah, it might be what it is. Anyway, okay, so that's where we are on COVID. People just stay home. Just a couple more months. Just hang in there. I keep telling everybody, just a couple more months. That's all it is.
Just go chill. Netflix and chill. Like your life depends on it.
I mean, I know everybody's tired. We've been doing it since March, though. It's just a couple more months. And then it'll be a whole new dawn of a new era with Biden. And people.
2021's going to be like party nonstop.
There'll be a lot of babies born at the end of 2021. I'll say that. Susan, what kind of gift do you get for the people who like are like sentimentalists, right? They're the sometimes the hardest to shop for. The easy ones are the ones like, just give me cash and gift cards. But what do you do for the people who are sentimentalists?
The ones who want emotions in a gift? Yeah, yes. They're so hard to shop for.
The ones who want meaning in their gifts.
I hate those people. Now there's a great gift that isn't even for the pickiest of people. And this year, your traveling plans might not be the same as usual. Hopefully, they're not the same as usual. So why not revisit the past instead?
With Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a safe and affordable way to digitally preserve all your home movies and photos that are currently trapped on formats like VHS or film. And believe me, I have albums and albums of like just pictures that nobody's looking at. But with Legacy Box, they're converted into beautiful digital products that I can share with my entire family.
Legacy Box can help you discover what's on all those tapes and films sitting around, and then keep the footage organized and safe for years to come.
And the service couldn't be simpler. They send you a kit, and with that kit, you can safely send the moments that you want preserved, all the videos, the tapes, the photographs, everything. They will create a digital archive by hand, and then you're going to get your new copies stored on either the cloud, a thumb drive, DVD, however you want it, along with all the original media you sent them. Very secure.
And I hope my mom's not listening right now, but if you are, mom, turn it off. I got my mom one this year for Christmas because she has all these boxes downstairs. She's finally over COVID, like, I'm cleaning it out. I'm finally doing it. And she actually did, which surprised me. But now she has all these old photos and old, like, record, like, not even VHS, like, old school stuff. So Legacy Box can help her save that and make them usable again.
Oh, Mama Susan Simpson is going to love it. So this is the best deal of the year. Go to legacybox.com/45th and take advantage of this limited time offer. And you get 60% off. That's kind of amazing.
This exclusive offer won't last long, so order their kit now and send it in whenever you're ready. It's a sale to remember. Go to legacybox.com/45th and save 60% while supplies last.
All right, so let's talk about the election that just won't end.
Ugh, we still have like 2 weeks until they have the Electoral College.
Man, they are trying to cancel all that. They're trying to like cancel everything. Trump is... crazy. I read an article that actually was a fantastic article that I would recommend others read. This is called, it's from Washington Post. It was titled 20 Days of Fantasy and Failure Inside Trump's Quest to Overturn the Election. And I just want to read the opening lines because they were great. Yeah. All right. President Trump had lost, but Trump refused to see it that way. Sequestered in the White House and brooding out of public view after his election defeat, rageful and at times delirious in a torrent of private conversations, Trump was, in the telling of one close advisor, like, quote, Mad King George, muttering, I won, I won, I won. Which makes me think he actually thinks he won. He actually believes the conspiracies. I thought maybe he was just muddying the waters.
I think that Trump has demonstrated time and time again that his grasp of reality is indistinct at best. And for him, it's very rare that reality has actual consequences on him. His success, his whole life has been based on declaring something to be so and then using the bluster to get his way.
Squeezing victory out of defeat, right? Basically.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, it's like when the great financial crisis happened and Trump was billions of dollars in debt and should have gone under. Instead, he just sued his bankers for like claiming the act of God clause applied and somehow ended up getting a deal that allowed him to survive and actually get more loans from like Deutsche Bank. Like what the frick was that about?
And alleging that they were predatory lenders, like they were preying on him.
It worked. And like that's how he's always been. Like he refused to acknowledge reality and goes with it. But once in a rare while, reality is still reality. And thank God our elections are still enough of a real thing that even his denial of it isn't enough.
Yeah. Well, since the last time we spoke, the election results in Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona have all been certified. And this is how Biden keeps winning, like, every day. And in the meantime, though, like, you know, the Trump campaign and Trump proxies and all kinds of people all over the country are just filing suit after suit after suit in most of these states. I think at last count, it was like 39 of 40 lawsuits had been filed. Most or if not all had been either dismissed or denied.
I mean, all the legal challenges, like I haven't even paid attention because I just can't find
it's too many.
To care. Yeah. But they know, like they're even though, you know, you've got Jenna, what's her name, Ellison, Jenna.
I mean, we're down to three. There's Jenna Ellison, Sidney Powell, and Giuliani.
Sidney Powell's gone. She's off the team.
I mean, she's off the team, but she's still filing lawsuits.
On her own. But there was an amazing moment when Trump, or at least the White House, tweets out like, oh, by the way, Sidney Powell's no longer on the team. Or never was on the team, in fact.
This happened the day after they had that press conference where Giuliani's hair color was dripping down the sides of his face.
Did you see? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
are we still in the real world? Are we now in a simulation for real? I cannot tell.
Well, the next day she went on, I mean, she had been doing these interviews anyways. I think she went on OAN, which is now the news outlet of choice for Trump because he has been tweeting them nonstop. OAN. He's like, stop watching Fox. And she went on and she laid out this entire theory she had that linked together Chavez and Venezuela and the CIA and all these things. And the Dominion voting machines. And then shortly thereafter is when Trump issued a statement saying, oh, she ain't with us.
But it wasn't just the Rudy Giuliani style, like conspiracy theorizing. This was super bonkers.
This is elevated. Yeah.
I think there's a line where the White House thing goes too far, but there is one and the Kraken crossed over it.
I mean, I will say, though, Trump has been towing that line. I feel like he's stepped over it once in a while because I have seen those things, the whole Chavez and Dominion stuff, come back over and over.
Like, there's a line for them that, and like Giuliani, I assume, I wouldn't guarantee it at this point, but I assume he knows that what he's doing is not going to work legally, that this is not about the legal proceedings, and that their strategy is not to win in court. It's a last-ditch effort to have democracy overthrown by the states control Republican legislatures is really what it comes down to.
I thought maybe he's just billing by the hour and
that too. Well, no. Well, Giuliani's personal strategy is to get a pardon. The overall strategy here is that if there's enough allegations of fraud and enough people believe it, and by enough people, I mean enough Republicans, then perhaps something completely beyond democratic norms can occur. And Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia, although Georgia is weirdly standing strong, and I'm super confused by that.
I am so proud of Georgia.
I'm not proud of it. I'm too confused to be proud yet. Maybe I'll be proud later. Right now, I'm just like, what the hell? When did Kemp or never forget Georgia? I think even Georgia's off limits, but they're still like, okay, Pennsylvania, we could turn.
I do think Kemp and Raffensperger are also thinking about like the runoffs, you know, in January. They can't completely discredit their own election process when they got to rely on it like in a month or so.
But if enough Republican states, and starting with the ones in contention, followed by other Republican states, decide that there's a massive fraud and they need to fix this, that's the only real play they have left. And that's what they're going for.
Well, these
are going to do some bullshit and somehow find a way to substitute electors that should be for Biden and put them for Trump instead.
They're trying to do that. I mean, a couple of the wins that he's gotten actually is that he has managed to convince the majority, apparently, of GOP voters that there was fraud. Most of them believe the election was rigged or stolen, along with another win, which is that he's raised $150 million for these legal challenges. And Sidney Powell, who's now on her own, has her own fund. I think it's like, she has like a website and you can donate there. So she's going to be banking money. But
you know what? Let me rephrase this. The real strategy, the actual plan from Trump here is to fundraise. That's primary motivation here at this stage. But the backup plan, like the side B plan that he's hoping can also somehow come through, is to overthrow the election. But even if it doesn't happen, he'll still have money, which is, you know, good enough for now.
Yeah. So of all these different lawsuits, and like you said, yeah, it is hard to follow them all, but most of them ended in the judge saying there ain't nothing here. There is one that
the judicial equivalent of what the fuck.
Yeah, exactly. There was a decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court last Saturday that threw out an order that paused Pennsylvania certification. It was a unanimous decision. They said that the lawsuit was filed many months after a change to the law allowing Pennsylvanians to use mail-in ballots, and it only happened after their side lost. So you can't do that. You should have challenged it earlier. So apparently there has been, just this morning, early in the wee hours of this Tuesday morning, a Trump attorney, Greg Tufel, his name, I think, he filed a emergency application directed towards Justice Alito. So basically the way it would work is this, I don't know if the emergency application, is that like, that's something that requires like, you know, like four justices or how many have to like agree to grant cert? Is that how it works? And what is this?
I do not know the exact appellate or Supreme Court procedures off the back of my hand. But yeah, you have to have a certain number agree to review it before it actually goes to the court. Case.
Yeah. I know that number is 4. I just don't know if an emergency application is different than like a regular, like, you know, writ of cert.
Maybe. I mean, the point, like, I don't even think even Amy Coney Barrett's not going to go along with this. This is not, I'm not going to rule out Alito and possibly Thomas. I could see just about anything happening with those two.
What about Kavanaugh?
No.
Really?
He's I'm not going to say he's better, but he's a little bit different here. Alito is like the one in the very bottom here. Alito is the wild card conspiracy theorist that anything could happen with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they're not going to get enough votes.
That's
for
probably why they chose him to direct this towards. Yeah.
They're not going to get enough votes. It's not a legal strategy here. It's all about the states and trying to somehow have, you know, the slate of electors that are coming from each Republican-controlled state to be Trump ones instead of Biden ones, even they should be Biden ones.
So let's talk a little bit about those efforts. They began last week when Trump summoned a couple of GOP Michigan lawmakers to the White House. And according to interviews later, reports later, they said, look, we went out of respect because we want to, basically in order to ask them to appoint their own electors and reject the election result in Michigan. When they left, they issued a statement saying, oh, that's not going to happen. You know, the results are the results. There's no fraud to be shown. And that's it. And they said that they went to ask for more federal assistance with COVID relief. And I guess that went nowhere. Beyond that, they've been having these hearings. Have you been following that?
So that's like one of the few things I have watched.
Tell us what is going on. Are these real hearings?
Like there are real and that there are people there talking at a podium
and people are hearing
they're happening in real life, but that's about the extent of it. I've watched a few of them because they are so surreal. It feels like some kind of like performance art. The people up there are amazing. I mean, straight from central casting, that's for sure.
They're like poll workers and
poll monitors. And like the Arizona one last night was wild. Like they had some women up there who were just, it did feel like a movie. It was that bizarre. And of course, to make it even more surreal, you've got Trump calling in on a cell phone halfway through most of these things. And like the cell phone.
And Jenna Ellis.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I saw that where Jenna Ellis held up the cell phone to the microphone as Trump dials in to the hearing.
It happened last night too in Arizona. It's the same thing every time. So like he has like a new repertoire to go into, which is the whole, everybody said that I won and then overnight I didn't win. What is this? No one's ever heard counted. Such kind of conspiracy. Yeah. Like it's nothing new or groundbreaking there, but just the spectacle of it is, it's something.
No, but I think what I'm trying to understand is this, like when hearings are held, they're held like in like a state capitol in a legislative session. Like why are these things happening like in a day's in? I don't know what's happening and who's holding them. And
because they're Republican hearings, they're not like real.
They're not allowed to use like their legislative space to hold their own hearings.
Apparently in Arizona, not whatever that was. I mean, it's.
Or is it this? Is it that in this format, the testimony is not sworn. And so it can kind of be out there and can poison the public.
Like, it sounds official. I wonder.
Yeah, it sounds official without actually being sworn testimony. I don't know. It's crazy. So that's one way, these hearings. Also, he's tweeting crazy stuff. So he tweeted in the last couple of days, do something, Brian Kemp. You allowed your state to be scammed. We must check signatures and count signed envelopes against ballots. Then call off the election. It won't be needed. We will all win. I mean, he's not even hiding it. Then he goes,
that was a standout. I'm in a sea of crazy. That was a particularly high wave.
I know. I had to like scroll through a lot of shit to find that one because there's so much more.
What's funny is actually I had that up on my screen right now because it's the only one that was worth talking about.
Well, I thought this was crazy. He said, why won't Governor Brian Kemp, the hapless governor of Georgia, use his emergency powers, which can easily be done, to overrule his obstinate Secretary of State and do a match of signatures on envelopes?
Because that's already been, votes have been counted. So literally there's no way possible to have done that.
Yeah. So,
Brian Kemp, why can't you give me a pony out of thin air? Why can't you give me a unicorn or a dragon?
I mean, he's trying like a little bit of honey with Brian Kemp too, but then he goes back to a couple times he's been like, I wish I never supported him. He's really pissed off at Brian Kemp. And people like Lou Dobbs and, you know, all these other, I mean, although I think Laura Ingraham has kind of taken one step back from the crazy train, and so did what's his name, Tucker Carlson, because he called out Sidney Powell. But you still have plenty of them saying things like that they're all part of the deep state, that these Republican governors, these Republican legislators, these Republican secretaries of state are all part of this deep state. They've been paid off somehow. There's blackmail against them somehow.
Look, I get it. I am just as baffled and shocked as they are that Kemp, of all people, is the one not going along with their plans. But, you know. All right. As far as I'm concerned, today is the first day where it's not a crime against humanity to play Christmas music. We're officially in holiday season. We're officially there. We're allowed to be there now. I mean,
yeah.
Don't go too crazy with the jingle bells yet, but we're there. So it's holiday season, and guess what? We can't go shopping in stores, but we still got relatives to buy stuff for. Luckily, we got an answer for you.
A great one. A great one. Because believe me, when I ran out of gift ideas for my dad a couple years ago, this is what I turned to. I turned to the Ember Wave. The Ember Wave is the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. It is such cool technology.
All of us have relatives or family friends who are finicky about like the temperature. I'm the one in my family for sure. So you want the gift to make them really happy? Get an Ember Wave. It is a magic box that can be hot or cold. I still don't know how. Never will. Never can. It is magic. And it works. It makes you, whatever's wrong in the world, if it helps you reach temperature that's more bearable.
Yeah. The reason we can't understand it is because it was invented by three MIT scientists. But I'll say this, in a household like my parents, where my mother is so cold that I swear to God I can visit in the middle of the winter and the AC's on, my poor father needs the Ember Wave because that's the only thing that can help keep him warm.
It's like a cup of coffee in your hands without a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
At will.
Yeah. Fantastic gift. And right now, the Ember Wave is offering our listeners $50 off when you go to emberwave.com/45th. Ember is spelled E-M-B-R. So that's emberwave.com/45th and get $50 off for our listeners.
That's emberwave.com/45th to get $50 off your device now. Obviously, Georgia is unique in that it'll have the last races of the Trump era. Didn't have the first one. Yeah, it did. Like, yeah, Ossoff was running for the House, like one of the first special elections that were held after 2016. So now we've got in Georgia once again, this time, like double Senate races all the way. And I mean, I'm not going to get my hopes up because it's Georgia. And also, I'm not going to get my hopes up. But there's definitely like a crazy factor here. Like there's such chaos going on that like, you know what? The dice could roll weird. Like you could do snake eyes here. Mm-hmm. And what's not helping, I'm sure, is that, well, not helping for the Republicans, is that Trump and others are saying like, why even vote in the election?
Right.
Georgia Republicans, why even bother to go to the polls? It's all rigged. I'm like, if enough people listen to him, that actually could give the margin that's needed.
Oh, yeah. And they are. I mean, like I saw Kelly Loeffler. She was doing some kind of event and people were yelling this question. Why should we, if it's rigged, why should we vote? I don't remember what her response was, but I think it was her press secretary who said either Trump needs to lay off on this shit or he needs to encourage people to vote in such large numbers that there would not be a chance of the election being stolen, even if it was rigged. Of course, neither one of those things is going to happen. And today, the Washington Post published an article, and I just love the headline. It's Georgia Republicans beg Trump to release them from his prison of lies. I love it.
Except Loeffler and Perdue are like, they're fully on board with this whole conspiracy narrative. They're embracing it.
They are, but there's an interesting little paradox that was raised in this article, and that's this. One of the arguments that Loeffler and Perdue are making is that, listen, we are one of the last lines of defense. You got to get us in there, and we're going to be like what helps kind of curb a Biden presidency, which then requires them to admit that Biden is the president-elect, at the same time rejecting that he's the president-elect. So it's a little confusing.
Well, look, all I want to know is, like, which moronic Democratic staffer is responsible for rigging the election and forgetting to rig the House races and the Senate floor audit. Like, what the hell, you dummy?
But, you know, that's a talking point, because I actually every so often pop over to Fox or here and there and check out what they're saying. And they're saying, listen, this is a sign that this election was rigged. The fact that, you know, we won some House seats but lost the presidency, like, that wouldn't have ever happened. Like, you know, down ballot, it would have been like blue all the way. They're not taking that as a sign of people kind of making independent decisions, or, you know, but more as like, this shows that the machines only flipped the presidential vote.
Who would do it that way? Who would not just, like, I mean, you're already going to steal a presidency. Why not steal a few
seats? Steal everything. Steal all of it.
Like, just like nudge things a bit more elsewhere. Like, that seems like a real short-sighted move to me. Yeah. I'm just saying, if I was in charge of stealing the election, I wouldn't have gone halfsies like this.
Right. I mean, if you're going to go in, go all in, right? Well, Trump is getting, obviously, support from folks like Diamond and Silk, but he's not getting support from people in his own administration. I mean, you know, the former head of the cybersecurity division at DHS, Chris Krebs, had an interview 2 days ago on 60 Minutes, and he said that 95% of the ballots cast in the 2020 election had a paper record. He's like, it's one of the most secure elections we've ever had, and he said that Giuliani's news conference, in which he was melting, was an effort to undermine confidence in the election, to confuse people, and to scare people, and said that election workers are getting death threats over their work. In response to that, an attorney in the Trump team said that Krebs should be drawn and quartered. They should be executed as a traitor. I don't know what he has to say about Barr, because today, Bill Barr said in an AP interview that the DOJ has not uncovered any evidence of widespread voter fraud that would change the outcome of the election. And immediately afterwards, he was apparently summoned to the White House today.
It just ended. It was a 2-hour-long meeting.
Any reports on what went down?
Not yet. I'm curious to see how Barr tries to spin it. I'm sure the first leaks will come from the Trump White House, but Barr will get his in there. I mean, Barr knows he has the power here. Like, Trump can't replace him at this point. So
really?
Barr has no... No.
You think he can?
He could fight. Sure, he could. Like, how would it help him, though? Like, there is no move. I mean, Trump is so impulsive, maybe he would anyway. But for Barr, there is no benefit to going along with it. Mm. He knows Trump is going down. He's not going to. I mean, he was never in it for Trump. He was in it for his great American Christian empire. And yeah, the only way to preserve that is to back away from Trump now.
That, and also, maybe this is the one time. He's just saying that, well, there's just nothing there. That we just don't have the evidence there. We don't have the evidence. I mean, Trump-appointed judges are like, you have nothing, you know?
There really is nothing. There's nothing. Like, if there was something, like even a tiny little something, he'd go for it. But there's just nothing there. I mean, the best he's got is Giuliani, who has, I guess, not been in a courtroom in a decade. I don't even know. That guy, that was the most bizarre hearing. I mean, the man is not well. But not well with something other than COVID, which somehow he still doesn't have, which...
Right.
Again, they need to start investigating him. Like, that's where the next vaccine needs to come from. However Giuliani is dodging it, let's tap that.
look, Giuliani is apparently one of the more, and a number of attorneys, a number of law firms who are connected to, like, you know, basically gearing up because they knew there were going to be challenges. Then, like, last minute, a lot of them withdrew from this. And then you have a few of the crazies left. But even then, like, the incompetence, like, just yesterday, apparently, there was in Wisconsin, I think, or was it Michigan? I don't know. Another lawsuit filed that alleged... voter fraud on a massive scale in Edison County. There is no county by that name in that state. So it's like just the magnitude of the incompetence is just breathtaking, and that's the best they have. But I will say this. So again, today also some news about the DOJ that Barr appointed John Durham, Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham, to act as special counsel investigating whether or not Intel and law enforcement violated the law when they were investigating 2016 Trump campaign.
Yeah, okay, excuse me.
Is
here.
It bone? Is this a bone for Trump?
I was not at the computer for like 2 hours. And then I sit down to record and open up the draft. And Robbie has like added the section on like special counsel point. I'm like, what the ever living, what?
So apparently, but he made the appointment more than a month ago.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could say something intelligent here or like have some kind of analysis, but I'm just, what? It makes no sense. Like it's.
I think it was just to appease Trump. I mean, like, Trump's been on him to make arrests.
Like, what was the... I don't even understand, like, how this is, like... What law did he use?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
whatever one he felt like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how this operates. Like, I mean, like, let's say there's a change of administration. Is Barr's not going to remain the attorney general? Like, it's all going to get shut down, right? So he's got, like, what, 6 weeks to do this or 8 weeks, whatever?
I mean, is he trying? Well, the special counsel, if it was done right, would theoretically outlive him. I think that's what they're trying to do. But I don't get it.
It's really stumped, Susan.
I mean, I would not guess this is the move that like procedurally was even available to him. I mean, I guess it makes sense from like the big brain Trump kind of point of view. Like, hey, let's do a special counsel to fuck stuff over once we're gone. Mm-hmm. Not even Trump. No, that's definitely a Barr move. That's Barr's poison pill. But we'll have to get back to you next week because I do not at this moment understand how this is possibly a thing he was able to accomplish or if he even accomplished it. Like,
I wonder.
So stay tuned.
Here's the thing. I actually wonder if Trump knew about it. Because if Trump knew about it, I feel like he would have been, before the election, oh my God, he would have been tweeting it over and over and over. He would have made
You're
it
right.
so, yeah.
Barr must have kept it a secret even from Trump.
Yeah, I think
he
did.
The one thing I've seen is that Barr apparently did this and named him secret counsel in October, whatever, and kept it a secret in order to, like, quote, not interfere with the election. Which you're right, would seem to imply that Barr actually didn't tell Trump about it until just now.
Yeah. And that's why the news came out today.
This is Barr's poison pill. He's trying to, but like, there's Durham has nothing. There is nothing there. It's an empty well to be drawn
from. Really big mustache. So let me ask you this: Trump is, I mean, showing no signs of conceding. We've got a couple of important dates coming up. I think December 14th, the electors meet and cast kind of their final whatever. He's still encouraging. And you know what? There are, in any of these states where he's raising the challenges, there do seem to be some GOP nut jobs, state legislators that are like also like, you know, filing resolutions and this and that to like overturn the election results and appoint their own electors. Like he's getting some support from state legislators. I don't know to what extent. I mean, like, let's say the state electors meet on December 14th. They certify the entire election. Biden wins. Do you think he's still not going to leave?
He's going to leave. He's just not going to concede.
There are some reports that, yeah, he'll never concede. There are some reports, although apparently late last week, he finally permitted the GSA to begin working with the Biden's transition team. Remember, that had been blocked. That one lady just wouldn't sign
up. Republican senators were like, okay, look, we need a functional government at some level. You got to stop doing this stuff, Trump.
Yeah. Biden wasn't getting any intelligence briefings. He finally got his first presidential briefing last week.
And people like McConnell and Graham don't actually want to see the U.S. burned to the ground. That is not their goal. Metaphorically, maybe, but like literally, no. They want to avoid that. They actually do have an interest in adequate basic level functioning of the government to keep things from just blowing up.
They still need jobs. Still got to keep milking it. So, there have been some reports that Trump is floating the idea of launching his 2024 campaign on January 20th.
Oh, I totally will.
During the inauguration.
The worst part for Trump about losing is he's no longer going to be guaranteed like a spot of the world's attention whenever he wants it. Like that just jolt of adrenaline that he gets whenever he needs that world attention, he can just get it, turn on the faucet right now. That faucet's going to go dry. Yeah. So he's got to find a way to get that faucet back on.
I tweeted my prediction, I think today or yesterday, I can't remember, where I said 12:01 p.m. on January 20th, he is going to be suspended from Twitter. And I think the hosts on Fox will stop taking his calls.
They will absolutely stop taking his calls at his will. They might still take it once in a while.
Yeah, but not like this.
Not like when they have that weird arrangement where he called in every Monday as if it was like a pre-planned thing. And Trump even said like, oh, y'all said we could call in every Monday. And the hosts are like, oh, that's not been agreed to because that would be a crime.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
And then he still kept calling on Mondays and everyone's like, cool, it's fine. I think the other reason too, of course, is that if he announces he's running for office, that is further insulation against prosecution.
Right.
Because he's not just at next, you know, at state, he's a current political actor, and therefore any attempts to investigate him, prosecute him would be an attempt to, you know, interfere with electoral process. So that's, I'm sure, part of the calculation. But I really think most of it just is he wants the attention.
Oh, yeah, he's an attention hog. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's also worried about his, you know, his freedom, his other interests. I mean, escaping those, what, $1 billion worth of loans come and do or whatever it is. I just saw yesterday that there's some kind of Republican poll that was done, and they said if they took Trump out of the equation, and, you know, Trump will never let that happen, but if they took him out of the equation, Mike Pence was basically – Mike Pence and Don Trump Jr. were neck and neck at 20% each. Like, those were, like, the two front runners for GOP voters. It makes me so sad.
I'm sure Pence loves that.
Yeah.
Knowing that Pence, for all his flaws, is still, like, a marginally functional – like, he's a functional human being. And Don Jr. is equal with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, he's subordinate to Trump, who's maybe even crazier than Don Jr. Speaking about, you know, as he's on his way out, these last, whatever, 6 or 8 weeks he's got left, the things he's going to do, he did not surprise anybody by officially pardoning Flynn for all current and future crimes.
No. Wait, he did do that.
He did do that? He surprised
us with it? He did not do the future crimes.
Oh, I thought it was all future crimes as well.
No, that is not a thing, and he did not do that. But he did do... The extremely broad scope. I mean, when Trump tweeted it, I guess a few days ago now, he said, oh, I'm doing a full pardon, but he mm-hmm. didn't specify what it was. And it wasn't until today they released the actual document. Okay. And essentially it's for anything that remotely could have been or was discovered by the Mueller investigation or any grand juries that were called. So like all of his, you know, Turkey bribery stuff, all mm-hmm. of his like Inovo bribery stuff, that's all gone. All the stuff is, ooh, but his son technically is not subject to the pardon. I mean, that would be a dick move for real. But technically, his son is still exposed and does not have a pardon.
He doesn't, I can imagine Flynn would ask for him to get one too.
Yeah, they're not going to try and pursue that. Anyway, I wouldn't guess. But yeah, no, it's a crazy, like, if Flynn had murdered someone and that was at some point investigated by the, or at least made aware in some way that he might have murdered someone by the Mueller team, he's now scot-free for that too. It's the broadest possible. Like, if Flynn literally conspired, like if we found tomorrow that Flynn had conspired to obstruct justice for the president and did so in exchange for a pardon.
He's
got free. Done. It's over. He is free.
Other folks are fishing for pardons too, I hear. Something about Giuliani.
Giuliani has apparently last week met with Trump to discuss a pardon. Which is most likely why he's doing, I mean, also apparently getting paid $20,000 a day to be Trump's attorney for this. But the real reason he's doing it is because he ain't going to survive a federal prison stint. He's got nothing to lose and money to gain and a possible pardon out of it. Cause yeah, the case against his, you know, should be co-defendants, Lev Parnas and what's not, I forgot his name. the other one, help me out here.
I cannot. I don't remember.
Democrats and Guildenstern. Whatever. They are now being facing their trial for their like marijuana conspiracy. But their ongoings in Ukraine should, I mean, Giuliani's totally exposed. There's definitely criminal liability there. It's recent. It's not even close to the 5-year like limitations that apply. And he knows that. He knows that if it wasn't for Barr being the one in charge, like he would be indicted. So he needs a pardon and he's fishing for it.
I think the reason I said all future, I think because we had a conversation before about how Trump could pardon himself for things he had not yet been charged with. And that's what I said, how can he pardon himself for something that he hasn't yet been charged or convicted of yet? And you said that can be done, right? That's, I think, what the way I was thinking about it, not things that he does in the future, but basically he can pardon himself for anything he's done that could be charged in the future, I suppose.
He can murder someone and then pardon himself for it federally, but he can't like say, well, I'm going to pardon myself for this murder I'm going to do and then kill someone.
Right. Okay.
So,
are you telling me Joe Exotic's trying to get a pardon from Trump?
Yes, indeed. Apparently Joe Exotic is also trying to ride the Trump train and get a pardon. He's spent about $10,000 apparently at the Trump hotels in the hopes that Trump will add his
name. How? He's in prison.
Well, yeah, but you can send people to pay, like spend money for you.
Is he in a federal, or was he like, was his, what's it called? A conviction, a federal conviction?
I'm assuming so, but I'm glad to report I don't actually know.
I don't think Joe Exotic has a good chance, but
I put him low stakes there. I mean, maybe he gets done pardoning his whole family and like all of his attorneys, everyone who conspired with him. Maybe he'll do some for fun.
I did see who's that blocky headed host on Fox.
You kind of get it narrowed down that way. Blocky
headed male
not Hannity,
host,
not Tucker.
No, it's Hannity. It's Hannity. That's his name. That's Hannity. Yeah, he's such a blockhead.
He's kind of blocky headed, but no, it's Hannity for sure.
He said last night, he couldn't remember his name. He said last night that, on his show, apparently, that, you know, Trump should start consider, you know, he's like, you know, there's going to be all these political persecutions and Trump should consider issuing pardons for himself and his family just to protect himself. So this is definitely something they're already thinking about. And I'm sure Trump is trying to figure out how to do that while he still has a little bit of power left.
I suspect that we'll see. This is not the last of the pardons. Well, I'm very confident it's not the last of the pardons with Flynn. From an outside observer point of view, I'm very morbidly curious to see if he tries to pardon himself or not.
Of course he will, Susan.
It's not a risk proposition.
What is the risk there? Let me ask you this. What does he stand to lose by doing that?
Well, it's very likely it won't work. And by doing so, he invites...
most of what he tweets doesn't work. Nothing works the way he thinks he tweets it.
Yeah, so it's Trump is up to this. Like, Trump's the one, like, letting his id control what happens. Sure, he's going to go ahead and tweet that he pardons himself. For the strategic point of view, like, if people are playing this out, I think there's a good case he made. He's better off not doing that and just relying on the fact that Biden has no interest in prosecuting him and going from there. If he pardons himself, he's suddenly going to open the floodgates to people like, okay, well, now you got to try and prosecute him because he's admitted to a crime, essentially. Mm. Why pardon yourself unless, yeah.
And Biden has repeatedly made it pretty clear that he wants to move on. I mean, I don't think he is interested in pursuing any kind of
prosecution. So given that background, like there's already seems like a fairly, I mean, then again, of course, there could be something that we don't know about that he's more worried about. But odds are good that federally he'll be prosecuted if he just rides it out. So by pardoning himself, he's opening a can of worms that's probably not worth the risk. Plus, his real exposure is still from the states, and that's not going to help in any way. So,
Well, in the last few weeks of his administration. Oh, by the way, did you see the new Christmas decorations?
I did. There's new ones. Wait, hold on. I love this.
Yeah, her video came out yesterday, Melania's video.
My favorite part of the year.
Yeah, it. You know what? It's better than last year.
Oh, this is boring. No, she postponed it this year.
Last year was The Shining. Well, this year she's like, I don't even give a fuck. So
she phoned it in. Oh, I'm really disappointed.
She had to put both of her arms inside two sleeves and walk through the hallways, and that's the best she could do this year. But I still think they look better than last year. That's a lot of damn trees, though.
Boring. Okay. Melania, you let me down, girl.
What are the odds that she's going to divorce
house
him?
That I like. Pretty
what
good.
Are the odds? What are the odds she's going to divorce
well,
him like the next year?
Should divorce her after these trees. I really liked her spooky decorations. I thought they were really, I mean, I just liked them.
Her what?
Her spooky
decorations?
Trees. Yeah, like she's had some really solid years going in this.
This is what but Christmas year, looks like in Satan's home. Okay.
I like the aesthetic. What can I say? This current one is just like, I don't
it's
know.
It's fake. It's not her. We know that. It's way too colorful to be her. Her inner ice queen, like basically projected into reality.
That's why I liked it. Like it was, I really appreciated, like she made it her own and it's shown.
Authentic. Poor, man, they're poor kid. Anyway, a couple of other little news bits that I think are important because, you know, the administration's still doing all kinds of crazy shit on their way out. First of all, it notified Congress just last week, I think, that it plans to sell, it's like pushing this through very quickly, plans to sell F-35 stealth fighters, all these armed drones, $25 billion worth of arms to the UAE. And they want to like do this quickly. So I'm guessing like, you know, all of his buddies in different parts of the world are like, you got to get this shit done for us. And on the home front,
you know, Kara has end of the bargain a few times more.
Yeah. And then there's Israel apparently assassinated an Iranian nuclear scientist. And of course, that cannot also be done without the administration saying you can do it. They wouldn't do that without an okay from the United States.
Look, I'm just like marginally glad it's not actually us that did it, apparently. Right. The first thing I thought was that. I'm like, oh my God, he really wants to start a war with Iran. He's gone ahead and done it. So, I mean, it's not great either way. It's definitely not great, but yeah, my worst fear did not come true.
I mean, when you're doing that and then you're like, now let me inject the region with $23 billion worth of arms, I feel like he's really trying to set it up.
Like, he really wants the Nobel Peace Prize, so he's like tried hard to get that, but also he wants the world to burn. So like these two impulses aren't working together so great.
He really wants to F things up for Biden as much as possible before he gets out. I thought this was horrific news that just this past Friday, the DOJ amended its execution protocols because July, for the federal government carried out its very first execution in 17 years. And since then, they've been fast tracking the executions. There are five people scheduled for execution just like in the next month or so. So in order to fast track them, what the DOJ decided to do was they very quietly amended the rule in the Federal Register saying that now to expand the methods of execution, including firing squads, poison gas, hanging, and electrocution.
God.
Yep.
They just really want to kill people. And they know that once their clock runs out in their administration, the people won't die. So they got to rush really hard to kill them. For what? Like, what is their...
But here's the thing. Look, all of these methods, obviously, they're all going to be challenged. Like, if they're actually, you know, if any one of these people who are scheduled for execution is told that this is how you're going to be executed by hanging or firing squad, that's going to be challenged in a court of law. It's never going to happen in the next 6 weeks.
They're still going to execute them.
That is true. They can still execute them if they can get all their ducks in a row.
And they are rapidly. They're going to have there's a few on the list coming up that I saw. I'm glad that we have not undisclosed, not done a death penalty case because I don't know if I can handle it. Yeah. It's just so hard to
race against the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's never people who to the extent anyone deserves a death penalty, which whatever, I'm not going to agree with that. But to the extent that's even a thing, it's never those people. It's never them. Like, that's not who gets executed in our system. Never.
It's almost always people who are really poor, who are intellectually, disadvantaged or, you know. Anyway. Okay. So I don't have anything else for this week or I guess 2 weeks almost. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I will note that I've been doing interviews for Undisclosed. And over the past couple of months, and I've really gotten to hear from people who are Trump's target audience, and all this stuff going on in the courts and in these hearings and the tweeting. I mean, yes, it's nonsense. And yes, it's obviously just batshit, but hearing from the people who actually believe it gives you a real different perspective on the danger of all this. Like, there are people who literally are believing this stuff out there and are discussing it, well, some calmly, some not so, but who bring it up as if they're saying like, oh, look at the weather. Look at how the votes were stolen. Look at how there are a lot of them out there. Like, it's as crazy as stuff seems. There are seriously people who fully believe all of it. And they're going to be with us even after Trump is gone.
And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, many of these folks in Trump's base, at least, I mean, like the real core, that 30% or whatever, they might have been the people who really distressed at an Obama presidency, but even, you know, the first black president, but even then, I don't think they believed that the election was stolen. That was never even raised as a possibility.
Also one who I can't remember. It was like either goat or badger. Either a goat or badger serum was used to make COVID, by the way. In case you're wondering.
Oh, God. Well, the vaccine will also have, you know, it's going to be hard to get folks to trust the vaccine, too. We really need Trump to push the legitimacy of the vaccines before he leaves.
The last good thing Trump can do, the only good thing he can do, is to freaking get the vaccine publicly live on camera before he goes.
All right, guys. That's actually true. It'll be better for the country if that vaccine comes out before January 20th so he can go out and vouch for it versus afterwards.
He can save some lives at this point by doing that.
All right, I guess that's it for us. And I think we'll be back in a week or two, depending on our schedule. And
back next week.
We'll keep at it until this guy's gone.
All right, guys.
Stay home, stay safe. Take care, Susan. Bye-bye, guys.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.